Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I do want to give you the setting so you better understand what's going on here in our text. The setting for our text is the Feast of Dedication. Probably not one of your festivals that you've spent a lot of time studying, but it's probably next to Passover, the festival that you probably know the most about from the Scriptures, even though it's not the Feast of Dedication. Mentioned here is not actually a festival or a feast that God established, but one the Jewish people did. You know it better, well, by the name Festival of Lights, or as most people know it, Hanukkah, right? It's Hanukkah so much funica. That's a song, never mind. Bad joke. And this festival is an eight-day feast that takes place. It started in 164 BC. The festival commemorates the rededication of the once desecrated temple by Seleucid ruler Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah. What he did, he was a bit of he was a pagan, and they routed the Jews, and they took the temple, and they desecrated it. What he actually did is he took a pig, and he placed it on the altar, and he sacrificed the pig on the altar, desecrating the altar. And then he took that pig, and he boiled it down into a broth. And he took that broth and he poured it over all of the temple to desecrate the entire temple. And what he's doing by doing this is he's saying his God is greater than the Jews' God, than our God, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God that this temple was. And rose up then out of the Jews a Maccabean leader, Judas Maccabeus, or Maccabee. He led a revolt. And this great Jewish victory became the annual festival for the Jews, celebrating the rededication of the temple, the cleansing of what had been made filthy, and it occurs on the 25th of Kislev. I know that's on your calendar somewhere, right? The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, so it can move anywhere from late November through December. Just so you're aware, it happens on December 25th this year. So as we're celebrating the birth of our Lord, the first day of Hanukkah will begin. So I'm sure the media will have a lot of fun with that. But anyhow, if you want to read more about these events, you have to go to the Apocrypha. They're not included in the Old Testament. It actually happens during that period of silence when there's no prophets sent to Israel, that 400 years. Before John the Baptist rises up to proclaim the message once again. And so in the Apocrypha, the book of Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, I know that our Senate has recently published a reader's edition of the Apocrypha. Please understand it's history. It's not on the same level as Scripture. There's very little there. I think, 8 verses in 1st Maccabees and 3 verses in 2nd Maccabees. So if you're that interested in it, I can show it to you, and it'll take just a second to read. But what it simply says is they rededicated the temple. Okay? I wanted you to understand all this so you can understand the setting that Jesus is walking into. I know I've just told you more about Hanukkah than you ever really wanted to know. But, well, I hope it helps. Because when you think Hanukkah, especially at this time, the time of Christ, we're talking 32 A.D., okay? Jesus is walking in. National pride is swelling. If you want to think about it, think about 4th of July and maybe Memorial Day and New Year's all lumped into one, right? There's a celebration, celebrating them. And that's why Jesus is asked the question, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. You see, Jesus walks into this having been in Jerusalem 2 months earlier for the festival of booths or tabernacles, and during that festival, he heals a blind man on the Sabbath, a man who had been born blind. And this poor man gets run through the ringer because, he has to go before the Sanhedrin or the Sadducees. He has to talk about what it is. His parents throw him under the bus. The poor guy, his parents come in and say, yes, this is our son who was born blind, but he's old enough to answer questions, and then they leave. Here, we throw him under the bus. Don't throw us out of the temple. And then they ask him about Jesus again, and he says, what? Do you want to be one of his followers? Didn't make the religious leaders very happy. And they cast him out. Now Jesus returns, and he's there, and they ask the question. You see, they're still looking for the Christ who's going to rise up an army better than Judas Maccabees, somebody like David, or even greater, this promised Messiah would lead the revolt and deliver them from Roman oppression. That's the problem. Jesus comes walking into the Solomon's colonnade at a rededicated temple, and here the suffering servant Jesus proclaims the word of God. Now, Solomon's colonnade should probably be in your mind already because we heard about it 2 weeks ago. Remember, you had John and Peter. They were out preaching, and the religious leaders weren't happy about what they were saying, so they threw them into jail. And while they're sitting in jail, they get busted out of jail by an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord tells them to go to Solomon's colonnade and preach. See, they go back to the same spot of the previous crime, and they're preaching. Now, Jesus walks into this, and he's proclaiming. He's preaching the word of God. He's getting the same response that Peter and John are going to get a little later. They got in prison. That's kind of nice compared to what they wanted to do to Jesus. You see, our text doesn't tell us, but when Jesus actually answers their question, verse 31 tells us, that's not included in our reading, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Now, obviously, they didn't succeed, but they were planning to kill Jesus. So they ask us, how long will you keep us in suspense if you are the Christ? Tell us plainly. And Jesus' response is not one they wanted to hear. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus makes the declarative statement that he is God. And rather than worshiping him for who he is, they want to stone him to death. Our good shepherd proclaims the truth just the same. He proclaims a message not only for the Jews, for his original audience, but also for the sheep today. The good news is this. If you know the voice of the good shepherd, then you are truly his sheep, and no one can snatch you out of his now nail-scarred hands. That's good news. You see, our good shepherd Jesus brings us into his fold. In fact, the good shepherd Jesus came for all, and all are his sheep of his flock, but not all will stay in that flock. You see, he laid his life down once for all people, for all sins, for all sinners, yet not all will hear his voice and stay in the fold. Because it's something, it's a message of grace. It's a message of, well, reception, not a message of doing. St. Paul says it this way, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Or as Jesus simply said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. You see, eternal life is all 100% gift. It has to be. You see, because of original sin, we commit all kinds of actual sins. And along with the devil and our sinful world, all they do is conspire to prevent us from hearing the Good Shepherd's voice and heeding his call. Think about our own flesh. How the Spirit may be willing to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, but our weak flesh gets in the way so easily. Our flesh will say, church is boring. I know it, says it, because I've heard it myself when I was a youth. Only if you don't know what's going on in church, because if you don't know what's going on here, it's going to be boring. It really is. But if you do know what's going on here, it's going to be awe. Because what's going on here is your sins are being forgiven. Not just because, well, I want to tell you your sins are forgiven, even though that's the greatest thing I get to say to anybody every day, but because Jesus forgives you of your sins. The very liturgies that we use are established to make sure that you hear your sins are forgiven, whether I can do it in a sermon or not. The very liturgies that you hear are established to bring you to repentance and absolve you of your sins so that you can be part of the shepherd's flock. If you know what's going on, today when you come to the Lord's Supper and you receive Christ's body and blood, you'll realize not only have you received the Lord, but now you can say, I can die in peace, as you'll join your voice with Simeon in singing the Noctaminis. As you joined your voice in your baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. As you join your voice in praying the Psalms, as you join your voice in singing the hymns that again teach us our faith, that's what's going on here. It may seem boring to the flesh, but it most definitely is not to the Spirit. But our flesh continues to get in the way. And so, if it continues to feel that way, I invite you to come to Bible class so you can learn more about it, so you can understand why we do what we do, and ask your questions. I can't promise to answer all of them, but I can do my best. Our flesh will also say, well, I can't go to church on Sunday because the kids have practice. Right? I remember as a kid, no sports on Sunday, ever. Today, right now, you go to the sports fields and stuff, and you'll see them covered with kids. Why aren't the Sunday school filled with kids? Because they're playing soccer and baseball and basketball and hockey and everything else on a Sunday morning. Well, it's probably time our parents stand up and say to those who organize these events, Sunday morning is not that time. Sunday afternoon will work just fine. Sunday evening's okay. But our children need to be in church. I need to be in church. And if that doesn't work, and you still have to be involved in those activities, then please remember we have a Thursday night service. It's available all year round. Then, the flesh will say, but this morning the fish are biting. And I say, see previous answer. The game's going to be on. Again, see previous answer. And the list of excuses that we come up with for not coming to hear the Good Shepherd's voice seem to be endless. But please hear this. All of the excuses that we use have one thing in common. They're breaking of the first commandment. You see, we so easily make for ourselves, out of our wants and our stuffs, our idol, and we worship it instead of God. And of this and of so much more, we must all repent. And I know this message doesn't make the old grumpy Adam, well, happy to hear. It may even make you mad at me, the under-shepherd, and I have to say at that point, that's okay. Because it joins me with a pretty good group of people. It joins me with the great company that preached at Solomon's colonnade who were imprisoned and sought to be killed. But know this, if that is what's angering you, then you're joining yourself with those who sought to kill Jesus. And that's a team you don't want to be on, because that means, as Jesus said, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. So again, the call goes out to all, myself and you included. Repent. Repent and receive the good news of the forgiveness of your sins. For those who hear the good shepherd's voice not only are his sheep, but they are those who have life eternal given to them, and you will never, ever perish. This is your gift today. But know this, when you come into the good shepherd's fold, you are now marked for death. The world, the devil and our own sinful flesh don't want us to be alive. But have no fear, little flock, for you will not perish. Our good shepherd has conquered the devil, the world, and even our sinful flesh in his death and resurrection. For Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, I didn't begin the service because you're going to say it a few times today. You see, you've been joined to the Jesus' victory in holy baptism, where our good shepherd joins you to himself to make you his sheep. He washes you clean in his own blood. And he takes you into his death and his resurrection, where the sheep's sins die with Christ then each day. And we, his sheep, arise the new creature in Christ Jesus. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. So come today with repentant hearts and minds. Come to the altar of the Lord and receive his body and blood given and shed for you in with and under the bread and wine. Receive Christ for your salvation, for your life, for your forgiveness. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So each week that we come together, we are confessing that we are his flock. As we come to hear our good shepherd's voice, this is what repentant flocks do. It gathers in the fold and receives the good shepherd's gifts and follows the good shepherd's voice. And he alone leads us right through the valley of the shadow of death and right out the other side to the green pastures to eternal life. For our good shepherd is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So fear not, O little flock, when the world and the devil rise up against us. They will persecute us and they will make our lives bitter. They may even kill us, but they can harm us none. They're judged. They are done. Jesus, our good shepherd, has defeated them. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Or did you not hear that Christ, our good shepherd, has risen? He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. All our doubts in life are answered. All our needs are provided for in the person and works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who can argue with him? Jesus and the Father are one. So let us hear our good shepherd's voice and have peace and comfort in knowing that no one can snatch us out of his hand. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.